Hello everyone, welcome back to the PearPod. Thank you all for listening, thank you for supporting the last episode. Thank you Luke for coming on, that was a fucking class episode bro, we've seen more of you. Delighted to say that today I'm joined by Irish producer Cameron Watson. Cam, what's up bro?
How are we?
Thanks you for coming on, I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me man.
I was obviously, like some lads I know very well coming on the pod, some lads I don't know at all. Yeah, and I was doing a bit of research on just yourself and I saw you did like some TikTok content with Lee Malloy, who we've had on before from the Malloy twins.
Yeah.
Shout out Lee, good man.
Sound fella, yeah.
And he asked you one question, like I was going through all of them, and then one question kind of stood out to me where he was, he asked you like, what success looks like to you? And you said, doing what I love for a living would be success to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the gist of this whole podcast. Like everyone I have on has a passion for something and they're trying to turn it into a business. So like starting off, where did that mindset come from? Like where did that get instilled? And like, as we just spoke about, like you're only a young fella. So like to have that perspective at this age is key, like, you know?
Yeah, no, like, I don't know. I feel like I've had that idea in my head since I'm very young. Now the ideas that I had were changing as the years went on. Obviously, you know, at one point, I was convinced I was going to be a gaming streamer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
for the whole of transition year in school, all I did was I didn't go to school. I just gamed and I gamed and I gamed and I was streaming on Twitch. You know, I got a bit of stick off the lads in school, but I didn't care. I loved the idea of having a public name or people enjoying what you're doing. Do you know what I mean? Watching what you're doing. And I always knew, I was like, yeah, I want to do something that I can entertain the public with, but I just wasn't sure what. And I want to be able to wake up, like I said, get up out of bed absolutely buzzing to do my job. And went through school and I've always loved music since a young age, very very young age, like. And I just picked up the laptop one day and the rest is history really, isn't it?
That's when you were streaming, did you watch people on, like, when you were streaming? Yeah, well, who were you watching?
I have to say I love the likes of Kais and that, you know, Phantom, all them boys over in the US.
I'm
big fans of those. I'll watch the old Young Philly gaming stream. He does a few gaming streams here and there.
What's Girth and Turf, like?
You see I think it's quality. And there's also a lack of it over here, I think, as well.
Yeah.
So
people are trying to do it, but like it is, we're usually a little slower on the uptake.
Definitely going to be doing it one day. I won't give away too much yet, but.
We'll get into it deeper on. But you had when you were kind of starting off, one of the other questions I want to get into when we were talking about the Ev Wild podcast is when you first started, you were working as an apprentice before you got into producing.
Yeah.
What was that period like post school when you're like, fuck man, did you do it like a period of time as an apprentice and go, Jesus Christ, is this going to be the rest of my life? Like, you know?
Yeah. So it was a moment where I was like, there was that moment that when it all clicked and I was like, yeah, look, this is great and all, and I'm not going to be unhappy, but I definitely won't be 100% happy doing this for the rest of my life. And I was in year two. So I was still pretty new to it. I was flat, like Ev, I was flat in the background, straight after work, straight into the studio. And I'd be in the studio until 1 a.m. And I was going into work absolutely bollocks, absolutely bollocks. My boss could see it. You know, they knew that the focus wasn't on the job, it was on something else. They just weren't sure what. Just wanted to get out of ASAP, really.
How, when you start getting into producing, like, this is kind of like the overall thing that I've got with any of the producers I've had on, such a saturated market, like insanely saturated. And now since laptops and everything like that, anyone can produce from their room and make the next number one hit. What gave you the confidence to be like, I can excel at this? Like, obviously you had a passion for music, but like at the start, were you like, I need to explore this? Or were you like, no, I think I have something here that could give me, you know, some potential?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, like, I wouldn't be the, you know.
You can talk into that, bro, as well.
Legend. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, here, yeah. Get it in there, tonsil into it.
I wouldn't class myself as like just someone that just liked listening to music. Like it was just like, you know, like every person on a Friday night, stick on the spot. It was like a big, big passion of mine was always music since a very, very young age. You know, my dad was a hip hop producer growing up and a DJ. Yeah, he was actually in a group with his mates called First Council. They were one of the very few hip hop groups in Ireland at the time, especially back, you know, this would have been in the 80s, 90s. There wasn't much hip hop going on over here. And my dad was in a group called First Council. They were on shows. I forget the name of your man that they're on the show. It was on RTE, I think, anyway, on TV anyway. But, you know, growing up because of my dad, I was listening to old school hip hop.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't just hip hop, you know, it was the dance classics. It was every genre, really. But that's really influenced my ear for music over the years since a very, very young age. And then in my own time, even walking around school, I had the earphones in 24/7. At home, I had the earphones in 24/7. You know what I mean? If I was playing my Xbox, there was music in the background of that. No matter what I was doing, there was music there. So and even when I was a fan of an artist, I wasn't just listening to their music and I knew two songs. I knew every track. I knew who they were. I knew where they were from. I was just so indulged into music. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, going into starting to make my own music then, it was that bit easier because I already had ideas in my head. I already had, you know, influence from all these different genres, all these different artists, all these different eras of music. You know what I mean? That date back as far as, you know, the old school hip hop stuff. Which was actually like very influential on my especially when I was first starting to produce. You know, I released a remix of a track called 93 Till Infinity by Souls of Mischief.
Yeah.
And that's a track my dad would have introduced me to. It was a very old
school. So your ear is like probably fucking, like compared to any other 22-year-old like producers, you have this ear of like, you've been listening to such different kinds of music the whole way through. You know what I mean? Whereas like we're all listening like Westlife, whatever I'm always playing in the car, you have this like rich history of music you can like delve into.
Yeah, exactly. That's class, yeah, man. Yeah. No, that it all just stemmed from that, really. Do you know what I mean?
And so like, it's interesting you say that about your dad. Was that would he be a huge push? Like some parents, when you're obviously in an apprenticeship and you're like a year in, they'd be saying to you, give it some time. Obviously at the start it's gonna be very difficult. Let's talk about this again.
Yeah.
Did you get that advice or was it kind of like he was like, look, I fucking understand this more than anyone. If you're passionate about it, go for it now, like while you can, you know?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it wasn't, there wasn't an argument about it. Do you know what I mean? Like there would be in most cases or an encouragement to just stick it out. Don't get me wrong. That conversation was had and it was, are you sure? But it was never, no, don't. Do you know what I mean? It was whatever you want to do, you go ahead and do. Like there was a period for 6 months I wasn't working. I didn't have an income and I was focusing on this music and they were completely happy with that. I told them, look, September is usually when the companies take on a new apprentice. It was January. That's 9 months. I have 9 months to put my heart and soul into it. Three months later, I signed to Sony in the UK. So.
Fuck off. That's the boy. That's mad. And like, obviously that's key. Like for a parent, like that's some parents and like, it wouldn't be wrong for them to be like, look, we all have dreams, but you also need to put in the work. So for them to give you that cushion at the time and let you do it.
Like, no, it helped. It definitely, it's a big,
class,
big help.
That's class, man. And Jesus, that's actually mad. You just said like you went, when you were splitting your time in between the two there, did you like, number one, did you always have a feeling like things are going to like start to pan out? Or was there periods during that where you're like, man, I'm killing myself every day here and I'm doing probably not doing my best work in the apprenticeship and I'm putting time into something that might not pan out for me? Like, was there doubt there, you know?
Oh yeah, there was major doubt, major doubt. I was kicking myself a lot, but, you know, like you just said, I definitely was not putting any work in. Like everyone on site knew I wasn't putting any work on the job. Do you know what I mean? I was always
spinning up there.
Yeah, it was like I was really eager to learn because it was air conditioning and refrigeration. So it was probably one of the more interesting ones out of the trades, I'd like to think personally. Like my brother's a carpenter and even he would agree with me on that. But I was just too tired. Do you know what I mean? Like I said, I was up until one or two in the morning in the studio and that like, with air conditioning and refrigeration, it's an emergency. It's on call. Do you know what I mean? You have to be there for emergencies too. So I was up as early as 4 a.m. sometimes to go to work. Yeah. So I'd be going in with no sleep, always going to sleep in the van. But I just had this big goal. I just enjoyed making music.
So what, number one, when you first start doing that, like when you're like, number one, learning the actual fundamentals of doing it. So like learning how to produce, how to put a track together, like learning even the decks and like the softwares you're going to use. How long did it take you, number one, like in that period you were going ham at it? How long was it until you were like, all right, I have a master of what, like the tools I want to start making my own music? Like, was that quite a quick transition or does that take a period of time, you know?
People do ask me that. They were like, oh, like, look, my job, like, oh, maybe 2.5 years ago I started.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's fucking insane.
But, and people are like that, like, ah, you fluky bastard. Like, that, there's no way that's legit. And they don't see that there was 8 and 9 hours every single day of those 2.5 years. If you're doing it for, and it wasn't just because I was like, ah, oh, you have to put the work in. That's how it worked. It was because I just loved it. I didn't even notice the hours going by. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And it doesn't feel like you're wasting time at
exactly.
all.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause I was enjoying it that much that it wasn't work to me. It was, I just loved it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'd say it took about 6 months for me to be able to navigate myself around the software. That Ableton Live is what I use. I actually started off on Logic Pro. It's called, cause that's what my dad, That's what my dad uses. So I was like, yeah, right, I'll use this. But then I just didn't really enjoy it. I watched a few videos. I had a few friends that use Ableton. And I was like, yeah, that's the one. Because especially for someone like me, there's just a little small thing on it called scale lock. And I don't have music theory. And, you know, you could put a piano in front of me and it would take me half an hour to play a chord progression for you. Yeah. But if you give me in front of Ableton with a scale lock, tells you what notes are in key, I'll have a chord progression for you there in 5-10 minutes. Do you know what I mean? Oh, even with no music theory, can't play the piano physically. But, yeah. You know what I mean?
So that's like your dad, obviously a completely different generation of producing. And like he would have. So he's probably looking at you being like, man, all the shit he can do in fucking
three months
would have taken us like 9 guys to be able to do all this shit, you know?
Yeah. I think it was the SP1200. It's something he said. I think there was 7 seconds sample time you had before. Yeah. And then you had to make a track out of 7 seconds sample time at a time. So that's what he used to use back in the day.
So you had when you're trying to develop your, because obviously then the portion is like, what kind of music are you going to make? What kind of sound are you going to have? All that kind of stuff. Did you have an idea going in, like what kind of music you want to make or what kind of sound you want to make? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a lot of inspiration, you know, and an obvious one to say is going to be Biss and Robbie G, Belters Only. Yeah. I was major fans of them growing up from 13, 14 years of age. Mm. So when I thought of house music I wanted to make, it was instantly what they were making. Do you know what I mean?
Class, man. Unreal. And you said, obviously you got signed like super quick. Like what, do you know what Sony saw? Do you know what song or what, like how they discovered you, whatever that was?
Yeah. So it was actually, I was making piano house tunes and cause that's a big buzz over here. You know, a lot of people call it Dublin house, but, I started getting good at making them and the tunes I was releasing were doing decent. You know, I think I got one track that got up to 200,000-300,000 streams. And to me, that was unreal, but I knew I had to,
Is it SoundCloud?
So I knew I had to, you know, stand out from the rest if I wanted to get a track that, you know, hits the charts. I wanted to get a track that goes that bit further because, like you said, it's a saturated industry. Like, there's a lot of people doing it, especially nowadays. And I ended up, you know, taking a step back, doing a bit more research into samples, and I came across Georgia Smith Blue Lights. And I instantly just knew, I was like, yeah, like that's a cracker. That's an absolute cracker. And I didn't just like the vocal. It was the instrumental I liked as well. So I ended up chopping up the whole instrumental, making my own melody out of the instrumental, whacking it on top of this vocal, putting obviously the housey spin on it. I whacked it up on SoundCloud and on TikTok. And by the next day, it absolutely blown up. You know, I was getting 300,000 streams maybe every 6 months. This tune did 300K in a week.
Fuck.
Every major label in Europe wanted to sign it.
Fuck.
Every single one. I don't think I can. Yeah, I think every single one wanted it.
Do you get a, like, I edit videos for a living and like I'm a videographer, so that's what I do. So when I know when I've done a good shoot and I'm in the middle of an edit, I start to get like almost excited. I'm like, fuck, there's something good right here. I just need to work through it. When you're hearing like Blue Lights and stuff like that, or even when you go on to Kisses, do you get like a feeling of like, fuck, there's something, this is it right here, something special? You have that feeling?
Yeah, it's when I hear, it's more so when I hear a vocal. I like working on a track from the vocal up, and I get a little buzz when you hear a vocal. You just know that's gonna do numbers. Like, you can already hear
no sleep, like I'm just gonna bang. I have to get this out, like, you know?
You can already hear little ideas playing in your head when you hear the vocal. That's when you know. Do you know what I mean?
So obviously Sony approach you then. You're gone full time, you've left your apprenticeship, Sony get onto you. Do you have, obviously, like, there's, you hear people talking about when they sign with different people that you want to sign with the right person to excel your career the right way, and like that can either go really well if you have the right company with you, or it can be very difficult. Did you, when you were meeting with them, did you have ideas of like what you wanted them to provide and what they wanted from you?
I would have had an idea to it a certain extent, because you know, it's a big deal, like, especially so soon. I think it was just exactly 1 year in. This was when I got approached. I know. And but luckily enough for me now, I had a great team around me. Obviously, United Communication.
Yeah.
They literally, I think I got on board with them a month before all these deals started flowing in. So it went hand in hand.
Yeah.
I had a great team around me, and the deal got done it was a very good deal. I'm still in it. There's one more tune left to come out. I can't wait to get another one out. But yeah, a good team around me. The process was nice and smooth. Like,
that's and then so when you're working on that, do you know, like, right now at any given time, like, did you have four or five tunes in reserve ready to be like, I have these ready to go, I just need to get them, like, whatever the push plan is for those?
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not really settled unless I have one more tune ready to go after that. I love having a locker stacked, and I was, even the Belters lads did always say to me when I did meet them for the first time, they were very keen on stack your locker up with tunes, because you never know when you're going to need them. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's the best weapon you can have is having a locker just full of tunes ready to go.
Yeah, no, like no company you sign with is going to be like, oh, you know what I mean? If you're like, I've got 10 in reserve, they're going, grand, man.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah.
When you look at someone like, obviously, Robbie G and Bissett, and like, there's lots, even New Era, lots of like duos.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Did you ever have that thought to be like, is there someone I could work with that could maybe help me in other areas? Or were you always like, no, I'm doing this myself? Or do you even see the value in having a duo if people are good at different things, you know?
I definitely see the value in it 100%. Yeah. Like it's two brains, it's two minds, it's two, you know, two ideas, two everything. And it doubles up, you know, two people. Like that's why, in my opinion, Robbie and Bisco so well together. Mm. Because yes, they might make the same genre of music, but they still have very different styles and they just go together perfectly. Do you know what I mean?
And you can hear, I even said this to Evan, he was on, you can hear both their styles throughout their music, which is like, that's what you want. You know what I mean? You want to be like, there's Robbie there, that I know, that's him, that's Bissett there, you know? And when you see, and then obviously we talked a little about the content strategy and stuff like that, which is like huge now. Do you think you having like streaming experience and like having to promote that in the past and stuff, you were already comfortable like being on camera and all that kind of stuff? Like obviously that's a big part as well, like selling yourself, I guess.
Yeah, I wasn't actually. Do you know what? It's funny enough, I wasn't confident whatsoever about getting on the camera. You know, it took me, even when I had released Blue Lights and that was doing numbers, hundreds of thousands of views on TikTok, on SoundCloud, I still, like, I'd show my face for like a 2 second clip and then I'd flick the camera back around and I'd put it on my computer just showing. Yeah. I hated doing it. I absolutely hated it. Mm. And it took me only until the last, I'd say 7 or 8 months to now. I do anything. I get up now and throw my phone down and I do a dance for the camera and I put up on TikTok. You know, I really don't care.
Do that after this. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, not a bother at all.
I have like 6 dances lined up. We'll just find those out. It's all TikTok content. We've got to get it out.
Not a bother.
Do you remember your first show you did? Like when you started producing, do you remember what was a fucking teenage disco or something that you might like you first worked at?
It wasn't my own show. Now, the first one would have been...
Oh, like even the first time you performed in front of people, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So Evan McGee, my best mate, he used to do these teen shows. It was in the Nace Court Hotel there.
Yeah.
And I still hadn't a clue how to use a pair of Dexia, but I knew that I really wanted to learn. Mm. And Ev used to bring his own Dexia, the RX3s. Mm. He used to bring them down to the club to play these shows. So he just said, look, come on down. It's only 20 minutes from your house. I'm only in Robertstown, you see. So I was like, come on down. Learn the ropes.
Yeah.
And even though it was a sold out teen show and they aren't, half the time they're not even really looking up at the decks. They're just mingling between each other. I was still shitting myself.
It's so funny, isn't
it? I was shitting myself that I was going to do something wrong. And obviously my mixing was terrible, but Ev just said, this is what you need to do. And he was right. Now my own first show was in the club across the road called Encore.
Oh, fuck off.
That's my local club now. And it's funny because I used to go to that every week without fail for 2 years before that gig came along. And it was good. It was, don't get me wrong. And again, I was shit myself. Even though it was full of people I know, the club was full of people I know. I think that made it actually a bit worse for me. But
you almost want to go off to Germany or something where you're not going to know anyone and go march. And you kind of mentioned that, like, it's interesting you say that because I just watched your longitude performances, like the videos on them, the clips, and that you don't look like someone that's not confident in front of people. But like when you like is that the biggest show you've ever done?
Oh yeah, by a long mile,
by a fucking country mile. Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about that? Like when you first heard that you were going to be performing at that?
I nearly jumped around my room. I did. My management called me, and I was actually booked for another festival, and they turned around.
Cancel it.
Yeah, they turned around to me, and it's funny the way they told me. They were like, "Oh, Cameron, we had to pull you off Temptation." And I was like, are you joking? Yeah. I was like,
what did I post?
I was like, what am I after doing wrong? Yeah. And they go, because you're after getting longitude. And I erupted. I did. They said it to me and Ev on the same call. And I was absolutely buzzing with it. I was absolutely delighted. It was the best news I've ever received.
And when do nerves start hitting?
Do you know what? And I said this to everyone. I said it to all my family members. I said it to the missus. I said it to everyone. I said, look, this... I'm fine on the way. I'm absolutely buzzing now. Mm. Watch when I go up on that stage. My hands are going to be like that. I'm going to be trembling. I'm not joking yet. I got up there and I think it's the most confident I've ever been on a stage.
It's so interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I guess that only comes from you being like so comfortable and prepared already that you get up there and it's just you performing. When you're going to put a set together for something like that, like what kind of things are you like thinking about when you're putting your set together? You're like, what's going to get, if, how long did you have?
I had an hour and 15.
Okay. So it's a decent amount of time. So yeah, you're like, yeah, so are you, yeah, are you going, we're going to start off light here. I want to build all the way up to about here, and then we're going to finish with these. Like, are you choreographing that like whole thing?
Yeah. For a show that big. Yeah. Like a club show. No, you just wing those. Yeah. But for a show that big, you want to make your mark. Mm. And that's what I had every intention of doing that day. Mm. So I had the intro ready, Blue Lights, which was my first tune to blow. And instantly, I think that would pull people into the tent because they know who's on now. Mm. And from then on, you know, get a few of my tunes in the mix. But then I also liked to get tunes from other people. Like, I have a good few friends in the industry. You know, I had the likes of Morgan Seatree send me over some unreleased tunes, or just tunes that are brand new that I just wanted my set to stand out from every other set. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, just some good house music was played that day.
There's a moment in that, I think it's the first video you posted, where like Kisses like just drops, the moment it drops, and like the whole crowd like fucking explodes. Like, I got goosebumps lit like watching it. So yeah, like, is that the moment you do it for? Do you know what I mean? Is that what you're thinking about in your room, apprenticeship, all that shit?
That's exactly what I did it for. When you're in your room pretending like you're DJing to a crowd like that, exactly. Yeah. Hands up in the air, looking at the fucking wall. Do you know what I mean?
Your mouth's like, I'm shut up.
Yeah. They walk in and they're like, what are you at? You just have to tell them, oh, don't worry about it. Mm. It was that moment, that exact moment.
And like, it's so, like, people go their whole lives and they don't get it. Do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people would be like, oh, like, could end up being normal bloke at 40, being like, oh no, I did a bit of producing when I was in my teens, never really took off.
Yeah.
But you're like, no matter what else happens now, and there'll be tons more, like, that moment, you'll be like, fuck, that was one I'll remember forever, you know?
Oh, yeah. To be honest with you, man, I've been thinking about it every day since. Yeah. I keep going back and watching all the clips. It's crazy. It really is. It's crazy.
And do you get, from that now, do you, have you noticed a huge bump in like your numbers and like people knowing you and all that kind of stuff? Like, absolutely. Do you see the buzz going?
Absolutely. Yeah. My socials, everything, people coming up to me when I'm out and about, it's mad now.
Do you like it?
I love it. Do you? Honest with you, yeah. Now, once I have my coffee in me, I love it. It's a bit rough when you're, I think I got caught one day in a McDonald's first thing in the morning. I was like, oh, hello.
Yeah, lads coming in from the night out. Like,
yeah.
You mentioned that, like, obviously now this is the hottest period for producers and DJs. You've got all the festivals, all that kind of stuff. Are you getting a taste now of what the lifestyle can be like for someone who's DJing and producing? Like, I have Joel Corey in my notes here just because I follow his socials. The chap's on a plane every day. Like,
oh, yeah.
Does that kind of lifestyle, does that appeal to you? Are you like, fuck, I'm going to get such a great chance to travel and like, you know, experience new places and all that kind of stuff? Like, are you buzzing for that?
Yeah, lately I have been doing a lot of travel. And don't get me wrong, it takes it out of you. But I have been thoroughly enjoying it. Yeah, like, you know, I always do remind myself of going back to the apprenticeship. Yeah. Would you rather be getting up at 4 a.m. doing that, or 4 a.m. for a flight to go to Ibiza? Do you know what I mean?
Probably take the flight.
Like, probably the flight to Ibiza, yeah. So, like, I'm very appreciative for where I am. And I really am enjoying it. And I think, who was it? I think Dom Dolla said on the Capital Dance interview or something, it was, if you want to be a DJ, and I'll be prepared to not sleep.
Yeah.
You don't sleep.
And that's a... like that's kind of where you end up going, even with like plans for the rest of the year. Do you end up like having a really busy summer period, and then the winter period is your chance to kind of build your catalog, make new music, and then prepare for the next summer kind of thing?
Yeah. I love summer music. Do you know what I mean? I love summer tunes. I get a buzz making summer music. So I mean, even the Winter Gone, I pumped out summer tunes. I only start releasing. I purposely held them for the last few months. Do you know what I mean? So. Don't get me wrong, you still have a lot of club shows that you'd be doing in the winter months, but it wouldn't be as busy as a busy summer season. Definitely not.
And do you, like, when you're going and planning out like the rest of your year now, do you know already, I have a couple of songs like I'm ready to push now going into like the last quarter of the year kind of thing? Like, is that all planned that far ahead?
Yeah. I like I'm working on a tune right now, and I'm thinking of it as the perfect, you know, September saying goodbye to summer type tune. It gave me that vibe instantly. So yeah, I don't know. I think seasons can match music. Do you know what I mean? Like different moments. I'm sitting in my room thinking about all these different moments. Like I said, the longitude moments, being up on that stage, saying goodbye to summer, all these little things. I like making music for all these different moments because it makes it mean that bit more to some people. Do you know what I mean?
And it's your own experiences. Do you know what I mean? Your music evolves with you as a person, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where it's like summer, fucking heartbreak, fucking all that kind of stuff. Like, that's all going to go into your music, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about your family and about your parents? I noticed, I saw one of your TikTok videos, you and your brother getting him to like Curse in the Bathroom. You know, that one you're gonna do. Yeah,
that was funny. No,
that's gas, man. But this is why I was saying about you doing being comfortable with content. Like, you're being able to do that kind of stuff is just going to make you more relatable. Do you know what I mean?
No, 100%. You know, like, that child, it's funny because there was a lot of mixed comments on that comment section. They were like, oh, that is absolutely disgraceful. But, you know, behind closed doors, if my mom was there, it would have been a different story. But everyone knows. Yeah. Every child slips the odd swear word out. Do you know what I mean?
My sister learned fuck recently, and she's talking that out a lot. It's not good. Like,
no, that's it. Like you said, relatable. Yeah, it is relatable, especially over here in Ireland. You know, an Irish child, that's just
nothing funnier than a kid getting one out, man.
Oh, stop.
What do your parents make of you fucking shooting up? Obviously, your dad's obviously mad, like super proud that you're obviously achieving this. But like, they're obviously delighted that they obviously gave you the cushion there for a period to be able to pursue this, you know? What do they make of it all? What are they thinking of your growth now?
Yeah, you can really see they're loving the whole journey, the whole process. Do you know, I actually feel like it might have brought us a bit closer as well.
Yeah.
You know, because I spend a lot more time talking to them about it, and now I'm not locked away in the room like every other teenager. Mm. Because like when I did start this, I was, just gone 19, I think. So, you know, in the last 2.5 years, we've definitely gotten closer, especially me and my dad, obviously, because he relates to the music a lot more. Don't get me wrong, my mom did a bit of singing back in the day as well. She's actually a very good singer.
Yeah.
But
get her on a tune.
Like, yeah, that you're about the 50th person to say that to me. But
sorry, I was gonna make sure that's wrong.
No, you're all good.
My bad, bro.
Continue. Sorry.
What was he saying again?
You just said your mom was a singer and that she was obviously, they're both fucking buzzing to see
you. Yeah. So like, they really are. They're delighted to see where I am. Mm. And
also, if it didn't go that way, if they decided I'm not letting you quit this right now. Like, you need to continue your job. And like, maybe you didn't get the break that you ended up having. That could have led to resentment, probably not the best relationship with your parents. You know what I mean? And you always maybe wondering, did they stop you? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly. No, 100%. And no, they've always been firm believers in do whatever makes you happy. They say it to all of us. You know what I mean? Like, I've 5 younger siblings, so they've been, a big, big family, man. Big family.
Jesus.
Hard being the eldest of them all.
Are you the eldest? Yeah.
I'm the eldest.
So what are your brothers and fucking siblings like? Buzzing.
They're absolutely buzzing, especially the eldest two. So Ross is 19, he's actually 20 in 2 weeks, and Alex is 16. They love
getting to DJ all
day. They love being able to come out along to all these shows. You know what I mean? The backstage treatment, the whole lot. They love it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Fuck, man, that's unreal. And like the fact that now they're going to be able to, even like on the long run, that your siblings going to be able to be like, whatever my passion is, I want to pursue that as well. My brother did. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I have given them that spark. You know, like, Alex, funny enough, he's 16. He wants to do the streaming stuff big time now.
Yeah.
And I'm helping him now because you know, I'm doing my thing. I'm putting the work in. I'm able to, I actually upgraded his gamer setup for him recently. So he was able to, I got him the game, the face cam. I got him the stuff just for the little booster, because that's what my mom and dad did for me. Do you know what I mean? They got me my first X. So it was nice to be able to pass on,
and like that's so much, it opens up so much opportunity for them to be able to work away on their own. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, and you don't have to buy them a fucking drum set like you have to do. Like, my sister's trying to learn fucking electric guitar right now. Like, what? It's fucking insane. When you have I always like to ask people about their like daily routines and their work process. Like, for you on a typical day, if you're not touring stuff like that, like, what does your day look like? Are you a slow start in the morning? Do you work a lot at night? When do you like to work?
Yeah, lately, like, my routine is out the door. I probably get up out of bed 10, 11.
That's a good solid time. Like,
I don't like it being too late. And that, now, my mom and dad might tell you different. Mm. Sometimes I do get up a bit later. But, I get up, get a bit of grub into me. And I'd say by 1 p.m., I'm making music.
And where do you do that? Is that in your room? Do you
at
have
the
a
moment,
place to go
yeah,
to?
Yeah, so I was out in my dad's office, but during the winter months it's not fully insulated yet. So it's out the back garden. That's where he does his work full time. He's a graphic designer and
class.
Yeah. So I was out there, but for the last 6 months I have been in my room, but I'm planning my own brand new studio in the gaff somewhere. Yeah. So that's gonna be hopefully up by the end of the summer.
And do you have hopes of, like, obviously, ideally, you want people to have people be able to come in and do live vocals for you, and like,
that's exactly what I want to be able to do. You know, people come in, other producers come in and collab. There'd just be loads of space, my own personal space. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't know. I feel like, especially lately, with all the tunes that are pumping out, And the buzz that, like, I think my Spotify is at 3.7 mil monthly listeners. So,
fuck.
Yeah, so I'm looking to be able to continue that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, keep the ball rolling. But
momentum.
It's also hard to do that, you know, because at the moment, currently, when I'm making music, I feel like maybe I'm kicking myself a bit, but I'm waking up in that room. Mm. I'm gaming in that room when I do go on the Xbox.
A cabin fever.
Yeah, I'm working in that room when I'm making me tunes. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm watching me Netflix in that room. I'm doing everything in the room. So it's hard to get out of that little bubble.
Yeah, Netflix and chilling in that room. Like, can't be doing everything in that room.
I know, yeah. What's that?
But that's it's unreal. Like, number one, you'll look back at this and be like, at that period, I did so much fucking editing, like on a laptop in my bed, like sitting there. And now, obviously, I have a tiny, like, cubicle in the back where I can do all my stuff, but obviously you'll get to that point now. Do you have if you have people you'd love to collab with, is there people, number one, vocalists that you'd like to work with, like Jazzy, like that, obviously those kind of heads, and then obviously is there producers you'd love to collab with?
Yeah, I love to, obviously Jazzy is a vocalist I love to work with. She's unbelievable. She's unbelievable. Hopefully soon we will get to work. Other than that, I'd love to work with a vocalist, a singer called Clara Lassan. I think she's nuts. I'm pretty sure she produces all her instrumentals as well, her own instrumentals. Yes. Now, I could be wrong in saying that, but just, I don't know, the style of her vocals, I think, would go very well with my stuff. Also, Kenya Grace as well, someone that blew up recently with that Strangers tune.
Yeah.
But everything after that, and I think she also produces her own instrumentals. I think they're both very talented. I'd love to work with them. Producer-wise, there's two lads, and I say it in every interview, but I don't care, I'm going to say it again. Ketema and Malgrap. Don't get me wrong, it's very different to the music I make, but I know for a fact if I got in the studio with them, I'd learn so much that I'd be able to interpret into what I make every day.
You've got to find that balance as well, do you know what I mean? So like, you've got to, like, it's again, like, you're so early in it, you're probably, you could, in 5 years' time, your sound could be quite different. Do you know what I mean? Like, as you continue to grow as an artist, but... Yeah. And I guess working with other people is your chance to be like, this is fucking in. You could be like, man, fucking Afrobeat is sick. Exactly, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And does that, do you think that'll also help, like, as you tour more internationally and just shake hands with more different producers and just be around that?
Yeah. I think, you know, being out and about, getting yourself out in the scene more, focusing on your growth, all these things nowadays, they make all the difference. Do you know what I mean? Like, I notice even now, because of this Kiz's tune, and I'm at the 3.7 mil monthlies and my socials are popping a bit more, conversations go a lot smoother now. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I'm looking to get a track off the label or...
People getting back to you.
The responses are a bit quicker now. Yeah. But I suppose...
A load of unreads from you before.
I suppose.
Just saw these, bro. Sorry
about that. Well, say nothing, but I suppose that goes without saying, really, doesn't it? But
that's the game, man. And like, you even said there, like, you stopped caring what people thought when you were streaming and stuff like that. And now it's kind of gone full circle from people like making fun of you streaming when you were unsuccessful to finding success. And now everyone's your best friend.
Oh, it's a full circle moment, that, right? Yeah, that has really happened over the last year.
Do you have a good circle of mates, like a crew, like a solid crew of mates that you can kind of rely on? Do you know what I mean? Versus like little, like, lads coming in just because you're having success now and want to get involved with you.
Do you know what? My circle is actually very, very, very small.
Good.
Like, I don't have a group of lads, you know. I couldn't organize a get together. Yeah. And that's because, you know, naturally, obviously after school, you go do your own thing. Mm. Now, I still have a few of the lads that I talked to from school, but I don't know, just it wasn't even a sense of naturally going and doing our own thing. I think the interests were all just very different. Do you know what I mean? And especially with me locking myself away to focus on something I was very passionate about, I got told a lot by people around me, no, you need a plan B. Don't you can't be doing that. Like, that's stupid, you know? You're an idiot. But the same people now are looking for guest lists, do you know what I mean? So
you did it, bro. So proud of you. But it's interesting now, like, you seem to have, at least I'm talking to you, a very mature head on your shoulders, like, for someone who's that age. Because if you blow up at such an early age, you see it time and time again with, like, lads, like, streamers in America or artists in America, like, they blow up and then have a big fucking catastrophic drop down because they let too many people in, got pulled in lower directions, all that kind of stuff. And it seems like, I'm sure even your dad, just from having experience in it, has been able to keep your head, like, on your work, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. Even if I go down now and I'll be like, oh, my God, did you see the streams that it's doing now? He'll always say congrats, but don't let that get to your head.
Can all be gone tomorrow,
you're only
as good as your last tune.
Exactly, like, you know? No, he reminds me every day, and it's in a good way, do you know what I mean? It's in a good way, so my dad's definitely very good at keeping me head on my shoulders, 100%.
When you made Kisses and you obviously were putting that process together, can you talk to me about like the when you first found like the sample for the vocals and all that kind of stuff, like that moment? Do you remember like where you kind of found
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I remember. So it was actually, obviously it's a collab with two lads called Bless from London. And I had worked on an official remix of their tune called Losing My Head five or six months prior to this, I think, or maybe earlier than that, 4 months. And I was, you know, in talks with them back and forth, and they turned around one day and they said, look here, we have this tune here, would we love for you to collab on it. Had a listen, Kiss's vocal was on it, and I was like, yeah, that is nuts. Now it was, the demo was raw enough that they sent over, there was they did their bit on it, and they said, look, we love you to put your touch on it, and let's get this tune out. And I said, yeah, look, 100%, very, very catchy. I hadn't any other releases coming up, so me and my management just said, yeah, of course. So I got to work on it, sent it back over, they did another bit on it, and then they sent me over the final version, and I was like, yeah, wow, that is sick.
When you listen to it, you were like, fuck man, this could be something.
Do you know what's funny? I didn't see it doing anything close to it. I knew it was going to do well. I just did not think to this extent. Do you know what I mean? It just didn't, in my head, that wasn't possible. Do you know what I mean? I just didn't think that was going to happen. But
it's funny that like, I listen to that or anyone else listens to that and they're like, oh man, it probably takes, and the key thing with music now, it's also like, you need a catchy 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the first 45 seconds of that song, you're like, oh man, this is fucking so catchy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so like, and I guess this is something I want to talk to you about, is like, traditionally more house music, there's like long builds. You know what I mean? Like you can build a song up for 6-7 minutes and then it drops. And now with this kind of TikTok side of music now, it's all, how quickly can you get someone engaged? What's the 45 second bit going to be? And are you thinking about that when you're putting a song together, be like, this bit people are going to love? Like, do you have to kind of piece it together like that for the audience?
Yeah. Do you know what? These days you the attention span is getting shorter and shorter by the day. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of the oldies, they hate that. They hate they call, there's a lot of TikTok ravers, as they call them, or even for the rap scene, you know, people are like, you're only writing that, like you had your 15 second highlight on TikTok and the rest of the tune just isn't it. Do you know what I mean? It goes for every genre, but at the end of the day, this is the generation that are next. Do you know what I mean? This is the generation that are here now. So things evolve. That's how life goes. And now, I would say myself, I'm sitting there and I'm like, yeah, this is going to go off on TikTok. You know, that it's my first thought on TikTok. This is going to blow on TikTok.
Yeah.
But like, it's just where it's at these days. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you have when you're looking at samples and stuff like that, where do you kind of dig through for your samples? Like where do you kind of look for them? Like obviously everyone and their man now is looking for trying to put a song together. They're looking to like produce, and then everyone kind of has access to the same samples if you know where to look. So I guess the only kind of unique you have is your ear and what you think will work. So like, where do you go and look for your vocals?
Yeah, so obviously I'm trying to steer clear of it lately, but a lot of my tunes have been Splice vocals. It's an app that you can download, you just pay a monthly fee and you get a certain amount of credits, you download whatever, and you can, they're actually royalty free as well, so you can make money off it if you make a tune with it. So but now I do get a lot of vocals sent over from the label, obviously, and I get to pick and choose which ones I like, which ones I dislike. And other than that, I just recently I've been going through, I actually had a better playlist when I was about 13 or 14 than on SoundCloud than I do now. And I've been going through that. I actually made one of my tunes called Just Be Good To Me from finding it on an old SoundCloud playlist from when I was 14. It was a tune that was already made. I had like, I think 50,000 streams on SoundCloud or something. It wasn't a major tune by to a lad called Anto. And I was like, yeah, this is sick. But I think...
just Anto. Like.
But yeah, I think it was just A-N-T-O in capital. But I was like, yeah, this is sick. Don't get me wrong, the vocal's nuts, but I'd love to put my spin on it. So I got a girl from Dublin called Alicia. Shout out to Alicia, very good vocalist. And I said, look, can you re-sing this for me? Whacked it over her way. And she sent me back and I was like, yeah, that's the one. Made by instrumental. It's actually still one of my biggest tunes to date. Just Be Good To Me, it's called. Big, big summer tune. It goes off everywhere I played it. It went off a longitude as well.
Yeah.
And so I love just looking through the old SoundCloud playlists as well. I get a lot of inspiration from that back when I was 13, 14.
Yeah.
Do you have, when I saw a video of the lads in Belters Only, I think they're in Australia and they're actually, from what I can see, it was their first time kind of putting lyrics together to a song, like the two of them.
Yeah.
Do you have any urge to potentially write lyrics and like provide that to someone or allow someone else to like write lyrics? You know, it's another element to your work, but it's a completely different fucking skill, I guess, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, 100%. I know for a fact, like, you know, like I said, when I get my own little studio done, I have my own little space, I'm definitely going to focus on diving into all these other aspects of it. You know what I mean? I really want to, because there's a big game in doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for it. And I'd love to, don't get me wrong, it's very hard. I know for a fact it's very, very hard. It's much harder than sitting down and making a track. I think writing lyrics is probably, yeah, it's definitely harder than making music, but I'd love to be able to one day do it and dive into it.
And you have and this will all happen as you like collaborate with more people. You'll collaborate with an unbelievable artist and shit. Like, they'll help you. I'm saying she, because I think you prefer like female vocals.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Fucking Ev has the exact same thing. I was like, are you ever going to get a bloke on? He's like, no, female vocals just sound better.
They do. By a long, long while.
And I think when you can start putting putting a complete piece together and be like, oh no, lyrics in-house, vocals in-house, all that kind of stuff in-house. Like that's where you're the full well-rounded artist. You can put a song from start to finish.
Yeah.
But again, like, this is all part of like your career that you can grow into and like excel as an artist as you grow, you know?
Exactly.
And it's also an industry that like Fatboy Slim's still fucking banging out tunes. You know what I mean? Like, this is such a long potentially career you can be in. So like you're only going to get better and better as you go.
Exactly.
You know?
No, 100%. That's it. You learn something new every day in this.
And do you have when you're looking back now, are you looking at long-term plans? Are you looking at like 2-3 years down the line? Are you taking everything as it comes right now and just trying to stay in the moment a little bit?
Yeah, at the moment, I would like to say I'm taking everything as it comes, because, you know, stuff comes at you quick and it can change like that as well.
Yeah.
Like, even today, the shows I just have to getting locked in today are like all over the place. Do you know what I mean? So if I had something planned now, I'd have to cancel it. Do you know what I mean? So you sort of do have to take everything as it comes with this. But I would like to say I have goals. I would like to be 2 or 3 years, like I said, I would like to be an established name. Like, that just, you know, one of them names everyone knows. Like, if you shout out the name Sonny Federa, if you shout, you know, an established name that's just a well-respected name in the industry. Name, exactly. That's it. I'd like to be that in 2 or 3 years' time. Do you know what I mean?
And do you think, and we'll get into some lighter stuff after this, but I'm interested in, do you think, like, would your goal to be potentially down the line be able to help other young artists? Do you know what I mean? Help to, like, obviously you've learned a ton already and you'll continue to do that. And, like, being able to put a label, I guess, together and bring up no other artists you see potential in. Is that something you see like value in?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I think being able to do that would be, you know, it'd be rewarding. Yeah. Like, obviously, I use them as an example a lot, but the Belders lads did do that. Mm. They always say that they held the ladder down when they could have pulled it up with them and ran off after they obviously Make Me Feel Good came out, and they just rocketed and they broke all these records for the Irish scene. They got all the eyes on us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not many people had eyes on Ireland as a dance.
It does seem to have exploded, like, whatever, probably about the Belters time. Like, it's just seemed to, I see new names all the time coming up.
No,
and you see it in Longitude, in the tent. Like,
exactly, no. And, you know, that stemmed from what Belters did, in my opinion anyway, and a lot of people's opinions. But, like, they could have just pulled the ladder up and they didn't. Yeah. And, you know, I think even from me being able to, I had a day there last year, it was around the same time that, or I think it was just after I released Blue Lights, I got the opportunity to get in the studio with them. My management organized it and I got to watch them do their thing. And, you know, they didn't have to do that. You know, just some other young fella coming up, like, they, you know, they could have said no.
There really could be, there really is no potential benefit for them.
There's no benefit there for them whatsoever. Not a single benefit that I have for them that day. Do you know what I mean? But they were willing to do that because they obviously knew what sort of inspiration I get and the buzz I got off sitting there watching them doing their thing. And my phone was in my pocket for the whole duration of the day. I took it now. Actually, that's a lie. I took it out to flex. I took one video being in their studio and then that's it. But, I actually watched them make their intro for their intro for the Telegraph building when they were playing the Telegraph building for the first time. I think I watched them make their intro for that set that day. So it was mad.
Did you notice, do you see them work slightly different to you? Like, do you, like, when they start working, you're like, oh, that's not how I would do it. But it's interesting to see how they put stuff together. Like, even just to see people's workflow, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think everyone goes about their stuff a bit different. Even, like, obviously, my good mate, Evan McGee, he would go about a tune a completely different way to what I would. Mm. But we still work so well together in the studio when we make collabs. Like, we have a bundle of collabs there, and we go very well together. But yeah, the Belders lads would work a lot different to me, but it was great to watch, even though they're on a different software to me as well. They use FL Studio, you see. Well, working this thing, I am.
I know, your fan doesn't affect the sound at all.
Yeah, they use FL Studio, but it was still so good to watch. It was refreshing. Like, it was just very, very inspiring.
And what's the atmosphere like in there? Is it straight to work when you're in the studio? Or, like, do you guys fuck around for, like, 20 minutes, have a chat, and then, like, stuff comes up naturally? Like, what's the workflow like? Is it very business when you get in there and, like, straight to it? Or is there, like, a bit of chat ahead of time before you get started, you know?
Yeah, like, when I'm working with somebody.
Yeah, like, if you're in the studio, like, do you try to find the bat? You see, like, fucking rappers in the old days are always getting high, like, no one's doing shit, and then suddenly, like, Biggie will make Juicy, like, out of nowhere, you know?
Me and Ev, especially me and Ev, we kind of go with the flow. We'll walk in there knowing that we have one vocal ready to go with. Now, I don't know.
You have something in the chamber. Like,
Ev might not be the perfect example because me and him also get on so well outside the music scene that, like, our music just flows when we're in there. You know, we're flowing. I'd say maybe for a first-time artist, if I'm meeting someone for the first time and working with them, I would like to kind of get to work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, like I said with the Ev, it's great to have a relationship with someone. I think you work so much better if you do know them prior, but... Yeah, I get to work straight away most times when I'm getting in the studio with someone.
Would you say, like, you're quite a, it's a very interesting kind of job. Like, my work, it's very much on my own. I film on my own. I edit on my own. I deliver stuff on my own. So I don't work with people a lot. Mm. It's a lot of just my own opinions the whole time. And it's kind of similar for yourself. Like, when we had Ev on, like, he goes down to his mobile home in Wexford when he needs to make music.
Yeah.
Just completely blanks away from everyone, goes off on his own, will go down to the beach and he'll write on his own. It's a very like isolating process.
Yeah.
Would you say, like, you're quite a, like, I don't even know what the word is, like, someone who, like, prefers their own company, especially when they're working? Like, do you like to retreat here, do your own thing and work away for a while before you get in with people?
Yeah, funny enough that you say that. Yeah, I am a big believer in that. I love my own little space when I'm working. I don't know, my workflow is just a lot better when I'm in my own space. And even though it could be another producer sat next to me, it's almost distracting, especially if it's just me working on this one tune that's mine. And I don't know, I do feel I work a lot better when I'm on my own. But don't get me wrong, it's great to have a second opinion there and then.
And it's probably nice to have the variety. So, like, maybe three, 4 days of the week you're working on your own, then you're in for 2 hours with some guy.
That's
bounce all your ideas off.
Yeah, that's great. Like, even my management, every month or so, they throw a writing camp. And all of us on the team, all the producers on the team get together. We bring in a few vocalists, a few songwriters, and we all just make music. And that every month to break up my own thing that I've been doing on my own for the 30 days prior is very good. You know what I mean? It's a good little buzz.
Are you fucking blown away that, like, whatever it is, like, let's say 2 years max, like, you went from, like, being an apprentice to now, like, your job is making music professionally?
Yeah, I actually remind myself of it maybe
every day. You need to make sure that you remind yourself, because that's such a fast rise that you can kind of, people can just get lost in the rise of it, you know?
Especially in this lifestyle, it's very easy to get lost, and there's so many different ways you can get lost in it, do you know what I mean?
Kind of, in terms of, like, the lifestyle, and, like, obviously around fucking DJs, we've seen so many examples of producers that, like, people who, like, alcohol when they're working, you're in a very party-heavy environment. Do you need to find that? You're so fucking young as well. Like, you're in the time when, like, probably most of your mates are going out getting pissed every weekend. Do you like a few drinks when you're working?
I love a few drinks. I'm not gonna say no to that. I do love a few drinks now.
Is there a sweet spot?
Yeah,
like two or three, and then
that's it. You have the perfect sweet spot. Like, even before the Longitude sale, I'll use an example again.
What'd you have?
I had this round of Coke. Every time this round of Coke. This round of Coke, that's my go-to. I'll never ever switch up and I'll never cheat on it. But
are you in the back being like, yeah, another one please?
Yeah.
Fill it up. Yeah. Give me a double.
No, I am. It's on the rider ready to go every time I get somewhere. But yeah, there is a little sweet spot. You know, you're not drunk.
Yeah, you've just got into a club after pre's and you're like, this is, I'm fucking right there.
Yeah.
But then you're teetering right over, two more and you're fucking sloshed. I get that. And do you see different producers? Some guys like to have a few pints, some lads are like, I like to just have a water or something up there. Like, is a variety of different people, they like different stuff?
Yeah, no, there is. Everyone each their own, really, isn't it? But I do know, like, there is a good few lads now that won't have any drinks until afterwards. Or there is a few lads that will just get absolutely smashed before it. Do you know what I mean? There's I don't know, it's just, everyone has
different
their own
strokes,
sort of buzz, do you know what I mean?
What things do you do when you're not working? Like, what do you do that could calm you down when you fucking work for 3 days and you're like, I need to just do nothing? Do you like a fucking long walk with the missus? Do you like exercise out in fucking nature, any of that shit? Like, what do you do to calm down a little bit? Or do you just fucking, you just making music the whole time?
I love gaming still. I wouldn't be as into it as I was maybe 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, but I do love turning on the Xbox now. And not
it's a good way to zone out, isn't it?
Yeah, because in fairness now, back when I used to play it flat out, I'd be taking it very seriously and controllers be getting broken. But now I can appreciate it for what it is and I can relax and play it.
What do you play?
I play a bit of Warzone recently. I'm getting mad into that. But obviously, I still have my old love for Fortnite.
Yeah.
I used to play that game competitively, actually.
Seriously?
I swear to God. I made a few bob off it, all right.
I still crack. I was staying in my dad's gaff there for a week when they were away, and I left my PlayStation there. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. On like a Saturday, I just whipped it out and started playing again 2.5 hours later. I was like, fuck, man. And like, it's quite well, like, it does. Nothing zones me out more than just checking my headphones on, just like zoning out to it. So I get that.
Yeah, it's great, man. It's great.
They have I think it's good to have things that you can, whether it's whatever, I found like even getting out on a Sunday and just like going for a walk, something just to not be in it for a few days, do you know what I mean? And do you have any other like hobbies and shit you like to do? Do you play any sport or anything like that?
I used to play football, but other than that, I don't really like, I just love going out and doing mad stuff, you know, like.
Are you telling me what that is?
Let's go bowling. Let's go mini golf. You know, all these little things. I love going off and doing that. Like I did the both of them last week. I did mini golf and bowling last week. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like doing all random shit.
Going to an arcade.
Don't start about arcades. I spent too much money in arcades. See that one down a break?
Yeah, yeah.
I've emptied my pockets in that many a time.
They have where do you live?
Robertstown there in Kildare.
Okay, so you're even coming in, like you're commuting in a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you have when you were first coming in for shows and stuff like that, like are you getting a lift in to like perform?
So with the ones in Dublin now, my dad would have brought me in. Yeah. And actually,
come in. It's actually a handy one to have. Yeah. Your dad knows the scene and all that shit.
Yeah, my dad actually collected me as well. So shout out to that man. 3 a.m.
It was
so
good,
up.
Dad.
Yeah, it was great.
No, I didn't have any drinks. It was so good. Do you have any venues? Like obviously, my brother's a serial Ibiza visitor and he talks about like Ushuaia and stuff like that. Like, do you have venues that you look at and be like, man, that would be fucking insane?
Yeah, that's
Longitude would have been one.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
That's a great example of what you just said there, Ushuaia. There's definitely another one. I was only thinking of another one there recently. Where is it? Oh yeah. Now this is obviously a long shot and not many DJs get to play, but I think it's called EDC in Las Vegas there.
Okay.
There was recently a big event on there and it just looks mad.
I thought you were going to say the Sphere there for a second.
EDC there. And my dad always says to me, you haven't made it until you make it in America. Mm. And I actually fully believe that.
Keeping you so fucking humble. Like, there's no chance of you getting ahead of yourself. No, like,
I think that is very true. The population over there, you know, everything is in America first before it goes anywhere else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, don't get me wrong. The music is very, very different over there. The likes of John Summit and all that are doing bits over there. But it would be great to introduce them to our buzz over here.
Do you think you got any exposure through like Kisses even on TikTok? Like, I'm sure there's fuckers in America that were like just seeing even the trend on TikTok, and that's like you can probably track your audience on Spotify and see like where people are listening from.
Funny enough, do you know, I don't know whether Kisses was in the viral 50 Spotify for USA there, but they only got up to I think 44th or something. But my own self-release, Just Be Good To Me, like that we were talking about earlier on, that broke into America heavily. Because Phantom, the streamer I was actually talking about earlier on,
I know.
I got a notification on my TikTok one day and they were like, Phantom's after reacting to your tune on his stream. And I was like, there's no way. I was like, shut up.
Yeah.
And I pulled up his stream. He only finished He finished it 2 hours. It said 2 hours ago on his Twitch. So I went onto it. I literally flicked through every second of this.
Scrubbed
through
it.
I think it was
a
3 hour stream he had. Yeah. And I found the clip. He went on, he had it on his YouTube playlist. He pulls it up and he does this dance to it and he's like, this is how motherfuckers be in the club or something.
Yeah.
And he presses play on my tune and the cover of it is there, on his YouTube homepage.
It's so valuable.
And like, if you go on to the comment section of the YouTube video for Just Be Good To Me, everyone's like, who's here because of Phantom? And it rocketed then the GQ magazine used it for Billie Eilish's walkout for some event in our dress.
Yeah,
the official GQ page used. And that was also in America.
After you got off the Longitude set, like, were any of the Belters lads, New Era lads there, were being like, Jesus, man, that was fucking solid?
Yeah, like, I had a good few of the lads. Like, Belters weren't there on that day. They were there the day before me. But I had a very good chat with, obviously, likes of Mark McCabe. He watched me whole set, he said. And, he gave me some very nice words. Yeah, he's very supportive of me now. Shout out to Mark McCabe. He's very, very
another
supportive.
Guy that wouldn't have to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. He's very, like, he plays. He made a joke with me recently. He's like, I need to stop one of music because his top three, he runs a show on, I think it's called Ignite. and his top three, he has his top three tunes that he chooses. He's like, mine are always there in his top three. Yeah. I have two in his top three right now, currently, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he was joking me, saying, stop releasing music because my top three is getting taken up.
It's great that there's, it seems to be in that, like this industry, that people particularly want to see other people, like they want to build with the community, which is sick. And yeah, it doesn't happen in every industry, like that people want to support the other people coming up. People all, like, I'm sure people want to keep the fame for themselves, don't want to share it with anyone. So it's lovely to hear people supporting each other. And it seems to be the same. And I have a few like mates who do like DJing just in like local spots, and they all know all the other lads that do it, and they all support each other on the sets and stuff. So that's sick, man.
No, yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's 100%. It's like, I don't know. It's especially over here. I like to think that everyone's very supportive of each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just in some elements.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Trust me on that. Yeah.
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 But you have a, like, are you one of the youngest lads? What, like, going in around spots, or is there fucking 15-year-olds going around that are like the next prodigy?
Do you know what? Ev McGee's younger than me now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's 19. Maybe I'm going to get in trouble now. 19. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
probably
mad.
20 this year now, I think. Mm. But yeah, like, I probably will be. No, I think Ev's 20. He's actually going to kill me for that now. I have to forget his age. But
he's coming on next week.
Shout out, imagine, my boy. But I will be one of the youngest. Yeah, I do get a lot, especially obviously with the baby face people. I can't believe that. Mm. You know, like it often happens. I'll be walking in to go towards me set. I'll be walking up to go towards a stage.
Bouncer grabbing you,
like, and a bouncer's like, "Where do you think you're going?" I'm like, DJ bag buddy, yeah, like DJ, and he's like, "Oh, sorry,
dishonor on coke, mate."
Yeah, cheers, please.
See you on stage.
Here's my ID.
Yeah, man, for the fucking rest of the year, like what's the big things coming up in the next like 8 to 12 weeks for you, or like any summer gigs you want to promote, or like stuff coming up do you want to get people focused on?
What is next? I have another show in Ponza.
Oh.
I have Dublin headliner, actually, that's a big one. My first Dublin headliner in the Academy on the 4th of August. Class, yeah, it's with Afters Only, obviously. Yeah, Afters Only's brand. I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully sell it out, debut headliner in Dublin.
Well, you will after this podcast. Yes, the boys.
Yeah, yep.
Yes, the lads. Yes.
But other than that, yeah, I'm getting a few other tours locked in. I can't say too much on them yet. There's another one I'm buzzing. But a few more flights are going to be had for the rest of the year. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to growing and
fuck, more, man. This was class. Thank you for coming on, bro.
100%. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure, man.
Man, go fucking get every fucking success you can get. Like, grind it out, man. I don't even have to say, like, your work ethic's there. So I've no doubt, like, you'll get everything that you're due to. And I'll see you in a year. We'll do it again.
Nice one, 100%, brother. Thanks very much. All right, lads.
Go follow up Khan's shit, all right? Follow. You already know his tunes. If you don't, what the fuck are you doing to yourself? And we'll see you in the next one, all right? Peace, lads.
Lovely.